an increasing trend with a 9% rise during this period. For instance, to boost global commerce and Indian exports, the Reserve Bank of India devised in July last year a rupee settlement mechanism to fend off pressure on the Indian currency. India has recently concluded agreements for currency exchanges of $75.4 billion with the UAE, Japan, and various South Asian nations. New Delhi has also informed South Korea and Turkey of its non-dollar mediated exchange rates for each country's currency. Currently, Turkey conducts business utilizing the national currency of China, yuan, and Russia, ruble. Iran has also proposed to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization euro-like SCO currency for trade among the Eurasian bloc to stop the weaponization of the US dollar-dominated global financial system. Moscow and Beijing have already set up a cross-border interbank payment network similar to SWIFT, increased their gold purchases to give their currencies more stability, and signed agreements to swap national currencies in several regional and bilateral deals. The trend towards de-dollarization in international trade, particularly among the BRICS nations, has gained significant momentum in recent years. Together, they represent 41% of the world's population, 24% of its GDP, and 16% of its commerce. In 2015, the BRICS New Development Bank recommended the use of national currencies in trade. 4 years later, the bank provided 25% of its $15 billion in financial assistance in local currencies and plans to increase this to 50% in the coming years.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to a new episode of your favorite Youth Station. I hope you're doing well. Well, this is Asma, and guess what? Brother Muzaffar isn't here.
Yeah, that's me. I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Assalamu
alaikum, everybody. Thank you for having me. You didn't do the choo-choo-ka-choo. I don't get it.
Yes, of course, we did it in your place.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. But now that
honor.
I'm back, we still need to have that.
So the floor is yours. You can do it right now.
Choo-choo-ka-choo. It's a youth station for you. Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you doing, brother?
I'm fine. Just exam season, isn't it? So I've just been stressed about that. I'm sure you're stressed as well.
Of course. Yeah, same in here.
Exams.
Yeah, may Allah help us.
Inshallah. May Allah help everybody.
Yeah, every single one. The youth need it more, I guess. For every single thing. Because, you know, this is the beginning of their journey. Mm. And then if we turn in the wrong track, then things are going
to go
miserable.
Definitely. You're like a flexible tree at the moment. You know, you can still bend and bow and
exactly.
pick up the rays of the sun. But eventually you're going to turn into a thick tree trunk and you won't be able to flex anymore.
Exactly.
Stiff.
Yeah, that's
the
point.
That's you. You're not changing anymore.
Mm. Especially if we get addicted to different things.
Addictions, yeah. We need to actually phase out those addictions from an early age. And that's something I've really learned the hard way, because now, like, am I still a youth?
Of course you are. Thank you. Yes. If I am considered youth, then you are youth as well.
Alhamdulillah. So there's loads of things that I don't want to use the word addicted to, but really, really, like, you know.
Isn't it habit?
I had bad habits. When I was younger.
Shall we use them simultaneously? I mean, interchangeably.
Interchangeable, I guess.
But it seems like addiction is more chronic.
Addiction is, once you're addicted, it's almost like there's no going back.
So what about habit?
Habits become addictions, I guess. Yeah. It's like the old saying, you know, that wise saying that they have, control your thoughts because your thoughts become your words, control your words because your words become your actions, control your actions because your actions become your habits, and then control your habits because your habits become your character.
Exactly.
And then your character obviously goes on to become your destiny. So that middle part right there is your habits, and, you know, which we are kind of taking the liberty to kind of redefine as addictions, because habits.
So it's the first step of making an addiction. Let's say habits are the
bad
first
habits,
step of that.
Yes, I mean, addiction can be a good thing.
Yes, addiction to good things.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should all be addicted to God.
Yeah,
we should be so addicted to God that, you know, we're always doing dhikr of Allah, and that's a beautiful thing to
have.
Which
needs too much of practice.
Yeah, I suppose it does. It does. And I think a lot of the sunnah that we have, a lot of the practices that we have in Islam are designed to get us to that point where we get addicted to God.
So, to get addicted.
For example, before you start a meal, the very, very basic mundane things that you do in your day, before you start a meal, have a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
You know, it's sunnah of the Prophet.
Yeah.
Before you start speaking to anybody, you say, Assalamu alaikum, right? Salam qabla. Kalam, you know.
So we do all these things
all
on
these
a daily
things,
basis.
All these things, right?
So these things are not going to make me addicted to Allah.
Well, it makes you addicted to Allah because these things are not the real purpose. Some people think that that's the real purpose.
Of course,
that the purpose is to get this divine reward. And part of the purpose perhaps is that. But the real wisdom behind it is to get you more and more connected to God in the mundane, usual, normal stuff that you do in the day.
Exactly.
You see? And then so through that, you'll start to build this relationship and you're constantly remembering God, everything that
so
you're doing.
It becomes something unconscious.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what addiction is. Let's go back to the negative addiction. What is it? It's like this constant ticking. I want this.
Exactly,
I need this.
The desire.
A person
the
who's
desire for something.
A smoker, for example, you know, they'll be having a beautiful meal. They'll be enjoying the best meal in the world. They'll have a few bites, but eventually what they will really start thinking about is the cigarette thereafter, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, even when you are enjoying something which is wholesome and good for you, you're thinking about something bad for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Now you just hit it very much directly into the head, but I wanted to get into there very surreptitiously, but it didn't happen.
I do apologize.
So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back. This is Youth Station. I am Asma, your friend, and then here I have Brother Muzaffar with me. We're talking about something which can be both good and bad. It depends on how it happens.
Sister Asma wanted to enter this discussion very surreptitiously, very subtly, very quietly. She wanted to sneak up on you guys, but I was like, bang, we're talking about addiction.
I wanted to make it more relatable, but then you just went directly into the heart
sorry.
Of
please,
the
issue. I want to hear how you make it more relatable.
So what comes to your mind, the first thing that actually comes to your mind when you hear the word addiction is what?
Drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs, yeah. Cocaine.
Weed. And do you have a special addiction yourself?
Oh, yeah. I have addictions.
Would it be personal if I ask what?
It would be personal, but I mean,
It's okay, let's share it.
Video games.
So you're one of those people who are addicted to those games.
Are you calling me a nerd? Is that what you're implying here? No. Do you know what? When I was a kid, one of the only things I would enjoy in the day is when I would come home from school and I could just play my video game. That was so cool. And it built a habit, as we were saying before the break, right? You built a habit. Right? After this, after I do my homework, after I come back from school.
As a reward.
I get my hour of video games.
Yeah.
And if I've been a really good boy, then my mom would let me play for 2 hours. And I was like, whoa!
And
on
then
the
that
weekend.
Was it.
Oh. So anyway, that became a habit. And now I'm a grown man. And it's really sad, but I really love
it. You still have the same habit.
I still have the same habit. Now, after playing a video game for like an hour or two, I feel like, well, I've just wasted 2 hours.
And do you feel the need that you have to change this habit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's face it. everything that you do which doesn't benefit you mm-hmm. in this world or the hereafter is just a waste of time.
But how come it doesn't benefit me? Just the case that you mentioned, just like playing games or watching movies like what I do. Well, it is going to have some benefits for me because I enjoy that. And that's a reward in itself.
That's true. That's why I'm not saying it's haram.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's definitely not haram. And I enjoy watching movies as well. And that, I think that's another one as well. You end up watching a lot of movies and stuff. These things are not haram. Mm-hmm. No, you're not doing anything like that's going to count as a sin, right? Alhamdulillah, Allah has saved us from, you know, terrible sins like alcohol. Alcoholism is an addiction on its
of
own.
Course,
you know, other
yeah.
forms of drugs.
A severe one.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it destroys families. It destroys relationships. It does all sorts of things, right? But video games are safe.
Yeah, they are safe.
Relatively
watching
speaking.
Movies are safe.
Yeah. Relatively speaking, right?
Yeah, reading books are safe. These are good addictions, I guess. But still, after finishing what you call as watching movies, then you come with this idea that, did I just waste my time?
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. And the answer is yes, probably. Most probably.
But wasn't it about to make you more mature and teach me something?
Oh, this is where we're getting at, okay? Because yeah. you strike me as the educated type, right? And your type usually watches movies that you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? I haven't seen this movie. I want to see it. I want to expand my horizons. Is that?
Yes, of course. Right. Yeah, expand my horizons.
Well, for other people... Mm-hmm. Pathetic people like myself, it's not like that. I've watched The Dark Knight Rises like 30 times.
Yeah, and that's very beautiful.
It's pathetic.
It's not, because every single time that
I've watched The Lord of the Rings, no exaggeration, maybe like 100 times. And it's a four-hour-long
movie
now, and there's four films, so that's 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you calculate it all, it's like a year of my life.
Yeah,
I've given to just watching that or playing the video games or that. So it is a waste of time for a lot of people. You're not just expanding your horizons. Albeit, every time I do watch a movie again, mm-hmm. I watch it with a new perspective and I notice new details.
Exactly.
And those
yes.
kinds of things are definitely there. But at the end of the day, guys, is there no better way that you could have spent your time?
No.
Really?
Because, you know, I enjoy that. When I enjoy it, then there it is.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
You know, Imam Khomeini, he used to have, because we're supposed to like allocate different parts of our day to different things, right? And a part of your day in Islam is supposed to be for recreational purposes, right? Mm. It is supposed to be for your fun time. Another part of your day is supposed to be for your work time. And the beautiful thing about Imam Khomeini is he would never substitute any time for the other. So if this is time for that, I'm going to do that. And if this is time for that, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, so we have to have a plan.
You've got to have a plan. And if it fits into your schedule, mm-hmm. then that's another thing. But we are talking about addiction here. And what happens when you're addicted is you end up binging.
Mm-hmm.
You binge, right? You watch a movie, then you watch another movie, then you watch another movie and another
one. Then you know how the cycle goes.
And then you're just not satisfied, so you start scrolling through your phone.
It's all more. You want some more.
You just start watching video mm-hmm. after video, and then it just does become
and football. You know, since this technology is just concurring everywhere, and every single person has got a cell phone, and then we have Instagram, we have TikTok, and then we have YouTube, and then we have a lot of things to entertain us. So, but we do not call it addiction, you know? The problem is that we do not recognize that this is an addiction.
We don't recognize it as addiction, but it has exactly the same effect, according to one researcher, as cocaine. Cocaine will give you this dopamine buzz.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll give you this kind of shot of of instant pleasure, this instant gratification in your head. And the social media does the same thing.
Exactly.
Right? The video games, all these other addictions, they pretty much do the same thing. They give you that burst of pleasure. And then when you're not getting it, mm-hmm. you are thinking about it later on. That's addiction, guys.
Exactly.
When it's constantly ticking, it's like a monkey on your back. It's saying, you know, you still need to do this thing.
And we cannot cure ourselves from that addiction unless we just recognize that we are being addicted to something.
Well, there's two ways. So one of them is the one that we mentioned, uh-huh. right, is to have a timetable. If Islam is structured. I hated this. Astaghfirullah. When I was younger, I really hated this because I want
to
be free, man. I want to do what I want, when I want, when I feel like it, all right? But no, Islam has a very specific structure in place. You know, the five daily prayers. When the sun is highest in the sky, when the sun mm-hmm. has not yet risen, and when the sun has set. Very specific timings. Mm-hmm. And Allah actually wants us to fit our life into a certain schedule. If we do that, then it's going to save us
from... So you mean that in itself is a sign to teach us that we should have a planned timetable or whatever
it. Now, if you have a timetable, like for mm-hmm. example, when I was a kid, my timetable was only on the weekends I'm allowed to play video games, for example. And that really helped me to grow and to think of new ideas of how to entertain myself. Now I'm an adult. Man, I can play any time I like. Now I'm an adult, uh-huh. I have freedom. Yes. You know when I was a kid and adults would mm-hmm. talk to me and they'd say, oh no, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for that. That's not entirely true. Adults do have time.
Well, I would say no. I don't know what happens to time when you grow older.
Yeah, it starts to go faster.
It goes so fast in a way that even when you have a plan in a day, you cannot afford doing all of the things that you have planned for. I don't know why, but it just doesn't go the right way. So I can just relate to what they say, I don't have time. We should have this self-control. And I guess if we practice, we can achieve that. And mm-hmm. I'm so sure that we can still talk about that so much because addiction is something nice to talk about, but mm-hmm. very hard to fight against.
We don't have any more time to discuss this, inshallah. We could go on discussing it, but maybe another time. From myself, from Sister Asma, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Iran's domestic production capacities. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. As you know, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, dubs every Iranian calendar year with a theme which fits to the conditions of the time. The leader named this year as the year of production, knowledge base, job creating. The themes of the year are chosen by Ayatollah Khamenei to motivate the officials and the people towards putting the internal potential capacities into effect to push the country on the course of progress. Thus, we have prepared a series to briefly review Iran's capacities in various fields. In the sixth episode of this series, you will get familiar with Iran's progresses in the medical and hygiene field. Stay tuned, please. Medical equipment industry has developed with the growth of human communities. The value of medical equipment market is more than $500 billion, and it is estimated that this section will continue growing due to the increase of senile population and spread of some diseases. Presently, the U.S. enjoys 39% of the share of this market, and Germany, Japan, and China stand in the next positions. The Islamic Republic of Iran has greatly invested in the medical equipment section. The rate of medical equipment growth is 9.1% in Iran, which is higher than the global average. Iran's medical equipment market enjoys a capacity of $7 billion. $2 billion of this figure is secured via imports, and $5 billion is produced by domestic companies. The Islamic Republic exported $24 million of medical equipment in 2017 to some 55 countries. The government has increased the budget of hygiene section every year. Moreover, health tourism is also on the rise in Iran, and many people come to Iran for treatment of various diseases. The Islamic Republic has the fifth greatest medical equipment market in the region. However, the U.S. oppressive sanctions have affected this section. The bulk of Iran's medical needs should be secured through exports, but medical equipment and devices are in the list of the U.S. sanctions, and Iran has to get the license of the U.S. Treasury Department to export these items. The pharmaceutical industry is the third profitable industry in the world after IT and oil and gas and petrochemicals. The revenues of pharmaceutical industry were over $1.25 trillion in 2019, and it is estimated that this number will grow to $1.59 trillion till the end of 2024. The United States gained more than $490 billion in this section in 2019, while the EU stood in the second place with nearly $195 billion. Foundation of pharmaceutical factories began in 1958 in Iran. Despite the efforts of domestic companies to compete with multinational corporations, the Iranian market was practically in the control of foreign firms. According to the studies of the Ministry of Health, Iran's maximal share of domestic production was 25%. More regrettably, most of these domestic medicines were produced with the credit of foreign corporations. The victory of the Islamic Revolution revived the hope in nationalization of pharmaceutical industry, and important steps have been taken in this field. Accordingly, many medicines have been produced with minimal prices and high quality. The completion of national pharmaceutical and medical equipment companies can be considered among important measures which have been taken to meet domestic needs. Today, more than 95% of the internal demand is fulfilled inside the country. Many basic and strategic medicines are made in Iran. Even most of the basic and packaging materials are provided internally. The pharmaceutical industry is among the sections which have lived in the tough circumstances of sanctions which have been illegally imposed by the U.S. Iran is now among the seven nations in this section, and it has enjoyed a spectacular growth in the field of pharmaceutical and medical progress, thanks to the endeavors of knowledge-based companies and young scientists and researchers. In addition to the medical section, hygiene has also paid special attention to in the world and Iran. Detergents industry, for instance, can be mentioned in this regard. Detergents are considered quick consumption products. Quick consumption products are the goods which are sold fast. Beverages, detergents, energizers, and some medicines which are sold without prescription are among quick consumption products. Approximately 80% of the world people use liquid and powder detergents for washing and bathroom. A gargantuan volume of detergents is poured into the global markets to meet the ever-increasing need of the world people. The change of lifestyle has been greatly effective in this respect. This market had a size of $117 billion in 2019, and it is estimated to have a 70% growth and reach $180 billion in 2026. The US and China are the first two producers and exporters of detergents in the world. Detergents production has a record of 70 years in Iran, and currently there are 220 active companies in this section in the country. These companies have the capacity of producing 4 million tons, but only 1.5 million tons can be produced due to the oppressive U.S. sanctions. More than 98% of domestic need is met inside the country. Furthermore, Iran exports nearly $400 million annually, while it is estimated that the country can have the capacity of exporting $1.5 billion in near future.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, self-reformation. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of self-reformation in the Islamic lifestyle. When we look at the Islamic text or the Quranic teachings or the verses, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized on the self-reformation. And it is necessary for a person to reform himself. Now, what do we mean with the self-reformation or reforming ourselves? Is that to avoid every evil and to adorn ourselves with all goodness? When a person is successful in avoiding all kinds of evils and adorning himself with all kinds of goodness, this person has done the self-reformation, or he has been succeeded in order to have the self-reform. So basically, when we say self-reformation, we need to avoid the badness, we need to avoid the evil, we need to avoid all kinds of oppression, injustice, maybe hurting someone, which can come under the category of oppression, extravagance, and so on. There are many, many things that we can avoid, which are known as the evil or bad deeds. And on the other hand, we must adorn ourselves with the perfection, with the goodness, so that we can achieve the perfection which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us. And in the verses of the Quran, Allah certainly has said in the chapter Nur, the chapter light, He said, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, if the grace of Allah wasn't upon you, and رَحْمَتُهُ, His mercy, مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا, none of you could purify themselves ever. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يُزَكَّى مِنْ يَشَاءَ, and Allah, but Allah purifies whoever He wishes. Therefore, it is necessary to purify ourselves by avoiding the evil and by adorning ourselves with the goodness, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of self-reformation in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that it is necessary that we must avoid all kinds of evil and we must adorn ourselves with the goodness so that we can achieve the perfection. On the other hand, Allah has provided the means of perfection. Allah has provided the means of purification. He has provided the means of mercy because He Himself is mercy, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And when He talks about His Prophet as well, He says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except the mercy for the worlds. Therefore, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, is the mercy for the worlds. And this mercy is basically upon us that he is taking us towards the purification. His teachings tells us how to become purified, and the best rank is where Allah purifies someone. Because, you know, we try to become pure, but there are some people whom Allah has purified, and Allah has said about Ahlul Bayt, the households of the Prophet, the Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, their mother Hazrat Fatima, their father Imam Ali, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that innama yuridullahu liyudhiba ankum rijsa ahlal bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. Allah has made you purified, and no rijs, impurification, can come near you. Therefore, if we want to get the purification, if we want to get the self-reformation, we must attach ourselves to these personalities. We must do tawassul to these personalities. We must learn the lessons from these personalities. We must give importance to these sayings, teachings, and the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet, and his household, Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, so that we also achieve this purification and self-reformation, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
in the limelight.
There are reports that Poland allegedly gave Ukraine several MiG-29 fighter jets under the guise of spare parts. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov has responded to these planned deliveries as evidence that the West is becoming more directly involved in the conflict, despite European and American politicians claiming otherwise. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote in this regard, in spring 2022, Warsaw secretly delivered several of its MiG-29 fighter jets to Ukraine, despite the Polish government officially denying any such deals, a local paper has claimed, citing sources. According to Dezhniy Gazeta Prana, DGP, the planes were sent over using a combined method, apparently meaning that they were delivered in a disassembled state and declared as spare parts. DGP wrote recently, citing sources within the Polish government, the fuselage and the wings are also spare parts. Back in March, in the first month of the Russia special operation in Ukraine, Washington rejected a plan of transfer of Polish MiG-29 jets to Ukraine, stating the move was too escalatory and risked directly involving the U.S. or a NATO ally in the conflict, potentially triggering a direct confrontation with Russia. In April, however, the Pentagon stated that unnamed U.S. allies had helped bolster Ukraine's fleet of fighter jets by donating unspecified spare parts which were supposedly used to restore many of Kiev's damaged planes. The latest article by DGP now seems to suggest that that ally could have been Poland, which in late April was also revealed to have provided Ukraine with $7 billion worth of military aid, including half of its tanks, dozens of howitzers, Grad MRLS, and missiles for MiG-29 and Su-27 fighter jets, among other munitions. In recent weeks, the U.S. seems to have abandoned some of its prior concerns about supplying heavy weapons to Ukraine and now plans to deliver a number of its M1 Abrams tanks to Kiev, while Germany, Poland, and Finland intend to send dozens of their Leopard 2 tanks. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov has responded to these planned deliveries as evidence that the West is becoming more directly involved in the conflict, despite European and American politicians claiming otherwise. That's as Russia has repeatedly urged the West to stop pumping Ukraine with weaponry, arguing it would only prolong the conflict and lead to more bloodshed. Meanwhile, RT reported the U.S. arms maker claims it could supply fighter jets to countries that are willing to give them to Kiev. Any countries that are prepared to provide Kiev with F-16 fighter jets would face no shortage of supply. Top U.S. weapons manufacturer Lockheed Martin has suggested, stating that it is ready to meet any new demand. In an interview with the Financial Times recently, the weapons manufacturer's chief operating officer, Frank St. John, said there is a lot of conversation about third-party transfer of F-16s, meaning countries that wish to buy and then re-export their U.S. jets to Ukraine. Although Lockheed Martin is not directly involved in any talks regarding potential deliveries of military aircraft to Kiev, St. John stated his company nevertheless plans to ramp up production of the fighter planes to get to the point where it will be able to backfill pretty capable any countries that choose to do third-party transfers to help with the current conflict. His statements come after the U.S. and Germany announced this week that they would be sending their heavy tanks to Ukraine. The move has reignited discussion about other weapon transfers, as Kiev reiterated its demands for more missiles and military aircraft. Washington, however, has so far remained reluctant to provide any fighter jets to Ukraine, fearing these could be used to strike Russian territory, further escalating the 11-month-long conflict between the two countries in Eastern Europe. Furthermore, any sales or transfers to third countries of any American-made fighter jets must also be approved by the White House. A U.S. defense official has told the Financial Times that Washington remains in contact with its international allies and partners regarding the needs of Ukraine, but noted that there is nothing to announce regarding F-16s. The Netherlands, on the other hand, which has about 40 F-16 fighter jets, has recently said that it would consider any formal request to send the planes to Ukraine with an open mind and that it holds no taboos in relation to military support. Russia has repeatedly warned the West that continued deliveries of weapons to Ukraine only prolonged a conflict and risked a direct confrontation between NATO and Moscow. It also said its forces would treat foreign weapon systems in Ukraine as legitimate targets.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی است.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Men and women as human beings are completely equal in Islam. This is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, meeting with hundreds of prominent Iranian women in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyah on January 4, 2023. As I mentioned previously, if you read the books about the wives of the martyrs, love and serenity can be clearly seen there. One can also see how this man, who has made his way to the middle of the battlefield, whether in the holy defense, in defeating the holy shrines, or in the other difficult fields, finds calm next to his wife. His mental turmoil abates, and love keeps him on his feet and gives him courage and strength so that he is able to carry on with his work. So, this is what a woman is like as a wife. She is a source of tranquility. She is a source of love, calm, and such things. Now, I have already mentioned this about tranquility, and made from it its mate, that he might find comfort with her. This is a verse from the Holy Quran. In another verse, it is stated, He created for you mates from your own selves, that you may take comfort in them, and he ordained affection and mercy between you. The Holy Quran, chapter 30, ayah 21. Affection means love. Mercy means kindness. Love and kindness are exchanged between a husband and wife. This is what a woman's role is as a wife. It is not a small role. It is a very important role. It is a very big role. This is related to marital life.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
With regard to motherhood, the role of a woman is a role where she gives life. A woman produces beings which come from her. This is how it is. She is the one who carries. She is the one who gives birth. She is the one who feeds. She is the one who looks after the child. The lives of human beings are in the hands of mothers. Children owe their lives to their mothers. The love that the Almighty God has placed in the mother's heart for child is unparalleled. There is no other life like it or that is equal to it in quality. She provides life. Generations continue. Mothers bring about the continuation of generations. It is due to motherhood that the human race continues.
Allah, I wanna thank you. That you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the World with Reporters.
Yemenis are urging their government to take decisive action to end the Saudi-led blockade on Yemen before the month of Ramadan begins. Due to Saudi Arabia's strangling blockade, food, fuel, and gas prices increased drastically during the holy month. Here at the Al Sanaa market, where many Yemenis do their shopping, customers said they want their government to adopt measures that will resuscitate Yemen's economy and end the continuous price hikes.
The strangling blockade is why food prices are increasing. When prices increase, it makes life harder for business owners.
We ask our government to improve our ballistic missile capability because it is our missile capability that will break the siege.
According to Mohammed Miftah, who is an advisor to the president of Yemen's Salvation Government, the cabinet's main task is to keep Yemen's battered economy afloat in the midst of a brutal war.
The government's main task, given the current circumstances, is to provide essential services like electricity, water, and building roads so people can travel. It's true, prices remain high. However, in the near future, the government aims to provide services at a lower price. In general, the main cause of the surge in prices is the Saudi blockade.
Mohammed Miftah says, despite the surge in prices, the Saudi-led coalition's war on Yemen's economy is leading to nowhere.
The enemy was hoping to strangle Yemen's economy completely by preventing all fuel and gas from entering Yemen. We have successfully foiled this plan, and now fuel and gas are available even though they're slightly overpriced. The important thing is that they're available, which is more important.
For the time being, the Yemeni government shows a willingness to engage in peaceful political dialogue to end the war. However, much of the public has lost hope in the peace process.
Yemeni people are calling on the Salvation Government to break Saudi Arabia's siege on the country before the holy month of Ramadan. Sana'a has called on Riyadh to lift the blockade multiple times. The kingdom has so far refused the requests, which means Yemen's next option could be a military one. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
The memory of the rape and murder of pedestrian Sarah Everard in 2020 by then Metropolitan Police Officer Wayne Cousins is seared on everybody's mind here. The police commissioner at the time, Cressida Dick, called it a case of a few bad apples in the force and promised action to weed them out. She was soon forced to resign, leaving a police force in crisis. The latest scandal to rock the mat, David Carrick, an officer from the same unit as Wayne Cousins, pleading guilty to tens of offenses, including rape against 12 women over nearly two decades. The response from the new commissioner, Mark Rowley, an apology and the promise of a cleanup. Yet critics of the Metropolitan Police Force say they don't think that will solve the problem.
I think the proposition that it's just a few bad apples has been blown completely out the water. What we have in reality is a deeply systemized culture of misogyny and racism that speaks and is at the very heart, the core of the Metropolitan Police Service. It is beyond reform. It is beyond saving.
The Force Commissioner Rowley commands was placed under special measures last year after revelations of bullying, racial discrimination, and misogyny among some of its officers against people inside and outside the force. New anonymous revelations from serving police officers speak of a culture of racism and sexual abuse in the force, which has left some black staff suicidal.
The issue is that systematized culture actually targets and alienates black and ethnic minority officers. And that has a profound impact upon their family life, their mental health, their physical health. And we've seen examples, haven't we, time and time again, of black officers suffering life-changing, transforming trauma as a consequence of facing racism in the Met.
These are dark days for Britain's largest police force, with confidence in policing already at an all-time low. And the recent admission by one of its own will worsen trust in the people who are supposed to be protecting society. Saeed Pariza, London.
Okay.
Latest surveys are indicating that more and more people in Italy are against continuing to send weapons to Kiev and are calling for a peaceful settlement of the conflict in Ukraine. According to a Euromedia poll, over half of Italians, about 52%, oppose supplying Ukraine with modern Western-made weapons, up several percentage points from mid-December. Furthermore, almost 7 out of 10 respondents were also against a possible intervention of NATO in the conflict.
Sending more weapons doesn't make any sense. More arms means more destruction and a never-ending war.
After weeks of doubts, Italy has confirmed it is ready to supply Ukraine with its highly costly SAMP/T air defense system. Italy only has 5 SAMP/T batteries, which has led to concerns over the weakening of the country's defense capability. Also, other polls show a growing opposition among Italians to an even more active role by the Giorgia Meloni government in the conflict. According to a survey commissioned by the state broadcaster RAI, an overwhelming majority of Italians, almost 80%, believe that the Ukraine conflict is far away from them. Another survey carried out by market research company SWG has revealed over half of Italian citizens oppose the government's plans to raise defense spending to 2% of GDP by 2028. Doing so would align the country with NATO's desired threshold.
I think that increasing our spending on weapons now is insane. We are already strangled by high inflation, high cost of living. I'm against the government's plan.
Italy counts very little at an international level. I am afraid it would be much more useful to remain inside the current international context and go with the flow.
Italy's next aid and military package to Ukraine is to be announced by the Meloni government in the early days of February. Max Civili, Rome.
Like other parts of the Muslim world, tempers are running high in Pakistan over the repeated Islamophobic incidents by some European countries in recent days. Outraged Pakistanis took to the streets of the capital Islamabad after Friday prayers to condemn the West for what they call its malicious anti-Islamic agenda.
Burning of Muslims' holy book by these Western nations proved that Islamophobic acts were not an expression of freedom of speech, but extremism. Sadly, extremism exists and is growing everywhere in Europe. It's time for European nations to think about who's promoting extremism by desecrating other religions.
Protesters chanted slogans and vented their anger against the silence of the West regarding repeated incidents of desecration of Holy Quran and the Prophet Muhammad. Demonstrators also called on Muslim nations to boycott European goods over what they describe as the West's insolent behavior.
We strongly condemn the blasphemous incident of desecration of the Holy Quran in Sweden. The incident is the worst and most heartbreaking act in Europe. There is no room for such a sad incident in a civilized society.
Demonstrators are demanding that the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, known as OIC, raise its voice against the growing intolerance against Islam and anti-Muslim acts across the globe.
It's time for the OIC to play its role in urging Muslim nations to stand united against Western conspiracies. Europe wants to ignite Muslims by doing such blasphemous acts. Once we are united, Europe will not dare to repeat such Islamophobic acts.
The countrywide rallies came days after Pakistan denounced what it described as the abhorrent act of desecration of the Quran in Sweden and the Netherlands, saying such acts disrespect Muslims across the globe.
Contaminations continue to pour in from Muslim countries across the world. Yemen, Qatar, along with other Islamic nations, joined Iran, Pakistan, and Turkey to denounce the desecration. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
People of Afghanistan are extremely upset about the deplorable and shocking act of some extremist individuals in Sweden and Holland in desecrating the Holy Quran, which is taken as a disrespect towards not just the Holy Book of Muslims, but all holy scriptures, by tearing the Holy Quran and setting it on fire. The primitive and uncivilized act of a bunch of radical elements in Europe has